I thank you all, and thank you, Brother Carger, for the message. What a great encouragement that is.
Amen.
To know that our trials do have a purpose.
Amen.
There's a reason for these things, and I tell you, years ago, I just quit trying to figure it all out. And I'll just be like an Armenian, let the Lord have His way. Okay, that's all you can say to that. All right, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. I take the message from actually the numerals of our key text, which is Luke 7:47, dealing with a woman who came to love Christ and give her all for Him. And Jesus said of her in Luke 7:47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." My theme for these three messages is going to be basically our love for God. We love Him because He first loved us.
Amen.
And I want to submit to you that our love for Christ is the key motivating factor in the Christian life and service. If the church has a problem, it's a love problem. And that's kind of what we want to deal with. But speaking of this number, 747, you know, for some years, I keep seeing that number everywhere I go. It's the weirdest thing. I mean, I'll look at a clock at random, 747. I order something online. You know how much it is? 747. Or 747. I pull behind another car, and the plate says 747. A man told me I ought to play the lottery. Of course, I haven't done, you know, I don't want to really do much of that, but it's kind of a strange thing. I don't know. I've tried several progressions of, you know, letters from numbers, and I come up with GDG, but that doesn't mean anything to me, so I don't know what it all means. But I came across an article some time ago entitled The 747 Principle by a fellow named Max Lucado. Now, I don't know if I agree with all of the theology of Max Lucado. I think he's a Church of Christ preacher, but he's written a lot of very popular books. But Max Lucado commented in his article, The 747 Principle, he commented on this scripture, and he said this: "What one treasure does this woman," who is Mary, by the way, Mary Magdalene, what is the one treasure that she cherishes that Simon the Pharisee doesn't cherish? Simple: God's love. The principle is this: if you know how God has forgiven you of many wrongs, you're going to love Him more.
Amen.
How high is the love of God? I tell you, it's beyond anything that you can imagine. I once found this illustration about traveling to space. And I might have shared this before here, I don't know, but just imagine that you could travel the speed of light. You say, how fast is that? Well, it's 186,282 miles per second. That's pretty fast, isn't it? So you could cruise about 6 trillion miles in a year of nonstop flying. But suppose you wanted to travel to the edge of outer space. That's a long way. AAA would make you up a travel log that might look like this. In 4 minutes, you would reach the planet Mars, going the speed of light. So just 4 minutes to get to Mars. In 5 more hours, you would reach the planet Pluto. In 4.3 years, you would arrive at the brightest, closest star in our galaxy, which is Centaurus. And continuing on your journey at the speed of light, in just 120,000 years, you would reach the distant side of our own galaxy, the Milky Way. 120,000 years. After 2 million years of travel, you would finally reach the Andromeda strain, which is the nearest large galaxy similar to our own, which is only part of a cluster of billions of galaxies. Then, in another 22 million years, you could reach the nearest cluster of galaxies. So you better pack a good lunch than an eel. After 8 billion years of nonstop travel at the speed of light, you would reach the farthest galaxy discovered to date, which is 3C123, which is moving away from the Earth at one-third the speed of light. You'd never even catch it. How high is the love of God?
Amen.
Higher than that.
Amen.
Higher than anything you can imagine. If you believe that you've only been forgiven of a few things, I don't think you're going to feel as much love for Christ as one who knows they've been forgiven. So we have here the story of Mary Magdalene. And in my next message, I'm going to share about another Mary who loved the Lord too, for tomorrow. And sometimes people get the two Marys confused because they both did a similar thing here in relation to the Lord. But this Mary Magdalene, she loved the Lord because He had saved her from such a horrible, lurid life. So as we look in the Scripture, the scene opens in the house of Simon the Pharisee. He has invited Jesus to dine with him in his home. His friends are there, and I'm sure that he tells his friends as Jesus walks through the door, he says, you know, let's check this guy out.
Amen.
Kind of like having a preacher over you don't know. We're going to check him out. You know, let's check this guy out. And so before the food is served, what happens? A strange woman walks into Simon the Pharisee's house. Now, she hasn't been invited. And everybody is shocked at her appearance. As she walks into the living room, conversation ceases. You could hear a pin drop. All eyes are upon a woman who is well known in that town as the town prostitute. This woman walks up to Jesus. She's unescorted, uninvited, unwanted. What in the world is she doing in my home? She begins to cry. She begins to cry and weep copiously. And she takes the tears of her eyes and puts them on the feet of Jesus and wipes His dirty feet with her long hair and those tears.
Amen.
Jonathan Edwards said that all the virtue that is saving and that distinguishes true Christians from others is summed up in Christian love. Without love to God, there can be no true honor of Him. And I can tell you all tonight that is true in my own experience. You know, when I began my Christian life for the first 3 or 4 years, I went through terrible periods of darkness and doubt about whether I was really saved or not. I don't know if you ever went through that. It wasn't a pleasant thing, but as the brother shared with us, it was needful for me. I guess one of the things that created this doubt for me was the question, am I serving the Lord for what I can get out of Him? Do I live for Jesus because of what He's going to do for me? Or is it because I really love and cherish Him?
Amen.
Is Christ the love of my life, or is He merely a fire escape that I'm depending on? And I dealt with that. And God showed me some things and revealed this wonderful love of Christ to my soul and gave me assurance that he loved me. And the only reason that I love him is because he loved me.
Amen.
What I want to do tonight is to submit four principles concerning our sincere love for Christ. And I know your greatest need tonight. You need to understand this love of Christ for your own heart, to know that he loves you, and then to learn to love people like he loves people. And oh, the wonder of this thought. Why did he love me when I could offer him so little? Why would he love me? What could you offer God to cause him to love you? Is there anything you could give him? He's already got everything.
Right.
How can you give someone who's already got everything? And I tell you, I've done some pretty rotten things in my life. I wonder that he could ever love a sinner like me. But yet he does love me. And it wasn't because I was a good boy. When I couldn't give him anything, he gave me everything. Now let's look at these principles tonight. And here is the first principle of this love. It is the principle of what I would call the principle of extravagant cost. I want to direct you back to verse 36 here in Luke chapter 7. We read about this Pharisee. One of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, notice that, behind him, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. And now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, here's his thoughts now, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Well, he ought to know who this filthy, dirty woman is. She's the worst of the worst. But understand that Simon the Pharisee is skeptical of Jesus. He has invited him to his home for more than just a dinner. There's going to be a debate. That was the plan. Dinner before the debate. And he doesn't wash Jesus' feet, if you haven't noticed that already. No, he doesn't do that. But before the pre-dinner debate starts, something strange takes place. Here's this intruder that has entered into Simon's home, Mary Magdalene, the local prostitute woman. I find it interesting that the Pharisees knew who she was. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, they knew who she was. She takes probably the only prized possession that she owns, which is a box of ointment, and breaks that box to anoint the feet of our Savior. She probably wore that box of ointment around her neck because if she died and someone found her, they would at least anoint her dead body. And now she takes that and lavishes that prized possession on the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Simon didn't furnish him a towel or wipe his feet, but she uses her long hair to wipe the dirty feet of Jesus. What an amazing scene this is. Simon flinches in disgust along with his guests. But now comes the smell of rich perfume. And then Jesus looks at Simon and says, Simon, let me tell you a story. And so look here in verse 40. Jesus said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Now you tell me, therefore, which one of them will love him the most? Well, the answer is obvious. Simon can figure that out. Verse 43, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most, in other words, the guy that owed 500, well, he would be more appreciative, right? I mean, he would love him the most. And so Jesus said, well, all right, you're right on that. You have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said to Simon, see, do you see this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head, and thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, and my head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wow, what an amazing thing. What's the difference between Simon the Pharisee and Mary? No, there's big differences. You see, Simon's far more religious than she is. That's pretty obvious. Not much. There's probably prostitutes that are pretty religious. I mean, I've seen them, you know, you see it in the movies, you know, they wear these crosses and all that. So I'm sure they got some religion. But yet, this Simon is a spiritual leader in Israel. But what's, you know, he's harsh. He's cold-hearted. But there is another interesting fact about Simon. In both Matthew and Luke, Simon was also called the leper. Yeah, he was a leper. He had a disease that made him socially unclean. But I don't see where Simon asked Jesus for healing. Well, find anywhere where he did that. No, he, far as we know, he would remain a leper while Mary would be set free from her leprosy. And some of Jesus' own disciples, according to Mark's gospel, when they saw her taking that, what would cost almost 6 months of your pay to buy that ointment, that's how expensive it was, when they saw that her wiping his feet with that precious ointment, according to Mark's gospel, they said this could have been sold and given to help the poor. But it's all wasted. I guess that proves they were really Baptists. I don't know. But they did not see the value of this act of love. They didn't see it. And what you do for the Lord Jesus will not make much sense to your lost family and friends. I can tell you that. When I was saved, it didn't make sense. They told me. They said, religion's okay, George. I mean, it's all right to be religious and it's all right to go to church. But I think you're going a little too far with this. I think you've gone a little crazy with this stuff. And I don't know how to tell them that I was going to be a preacher. I said, I'm going to be a preacher. Oh, my word. You're going to be a preacher. Oh, my word. Now you've gone bonkers over this thing. It doesn't make any sense to lost people about our love for the Lord. But you see, Simon doesn't consider this poor woman's soul. All he sees is a long-haired hussy. That's all he sees. And people like Simon don't understand the grace and mercy of God. They don't. They don't. They can analyze it theologically. They can even debate it publicly, but they don't know God's love practically. They don't see this. And I'm afraid that's in the churches too. I know I see it in my church. I got to tell you. I see it there. That people just don't get this. You don't see this. But again, I quote Max Lucado, and he said, just like the jumbo jet, the 747 principle has wide wings to lift you to another level. That a person who's forgiven little shows only little love. In other words, we can't give what we've never received. And if you've never received His love, if you've never believed it for yourself, you're not going to be able to give it much. To give it out. Look at Mary. And we read here, she doesn't really face the Lord. when she wipes his feet, cleans his feet, she doesn't stand in front. She's behind him. She's kneeling behind his feet. And in her mind, she's saying, I don't know if he could ever love me as much as I want to love him. But I tell you, I'm going to love him anyway, no matter what. The Scripture says that we love him because he first loved us. And you might say, well, I'm not worthy to be loved by the Lord. Oh, Pastor, if you just knew my life, if you knew the stuff I've done, if you knew the rottenness in my life, there's no way that the Lord could ever love me. No hope for me, no way. I've heard people say that. How high is his love? I tell you, it goes beyond anything. I tell you, his love is so high, it took him high on a cross.
Right.
If he loved us enough to die on an old rugged cross and shed his precious blood, that's love, my friend.
Amen.
I think it'd be a sin not to believe that, not to love him. And listen, you might say, I'm not worthy to be loved by the Lord. And you're right. None of us are worthy of it. Mary wasn't either. But I'm sure thankful that he did love us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving me, an unworthy sinner. And because I know that he loves me and cares for me, you know what? I can love just about anybody. I can love anyone. I can love my husband. I can love my wife. I can love people who don't love me. How about that? I can love lost people that are ignorant and don't know any better. I can still love them, can I?
Amen.
Because he loved me. So here, there's not only a principle of extravagant cost. What this woman did was very costly, but there's also the principle of unbounding compassion. And Jesus asked Simon the question at the conclusion of the story of the creditor and the debtors. Which debtor is going to love? Which one is going to be more appreciative? Well, my friends, we love our Lord because He has shown such amazing love and compassion to us. And if you ever understand His compassion to you, His grace, His loving sovereign grace, if you ever come to see that, I mean, it'll fill you with a love for Him.
Amen.
What did Mary believe about Jesus? Well, she believed that if she came to Jesus as a repentant sinner, He wouldn't send her away. That was her conviction. She said, if I can go talk to Him, if I can get to Him, if I can show my love for Him, He won't turn me away. And He didn't. And so the bad news for Simon was the good news for Mary. Jesus Christ loves sinners. And that's good news for her. And it's good news for us. He would not send her away. And so when you look here again at the text of Scripture, as in verse 47, Jesus proclaims this in front of everybody. He said, her sins, which were many, He knew all about them. He knew her sins. He's the omniscient God. He knows all things. He knows your sins. And He knew her sins, but He loved her anyway. That's the amazing thing about sovereign grace. Hey, you know what? God knew every rotten thing about me before I ever took my first breath. That's what's amazing, isn't it? He knew all the rotten things I would do. He knew all the sins I would ever commit. And yet, in love, He chose me.
Amen.
Selected me to be His child. Isn't that amazing? Oh, her sins, which are many. Many sins. But you know what He said? Watch this. He said they're forgiven.
Amen.
They're forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, verse 48, he said to her, thy sins are forgiven.
Amen.
There you go. Your sins are forgiven. Woo, can you imagine how she felt? Walking out of that place. And you know, of all these people that attended the dinner, only this woman is said to have left forgiven. Isn't that incredible? God deals with the individual. I think sometimes we as preachers and churches, we're thinking in terms of masses, big rallies, you know. We see a lot of numbers, see a lot of results. Man, we got to get results, right? But Jesus always dealt with that individual.
Amen.
Always dealt with that one. Let me tell you something. And I don't know if you agree with this. I don't know if I can agree with it. But if I could preach another 26 years at that church and see only one more soul saved, would it be worth it?
Amen.
I believe it would. Because what kind of value can you put on one soul? No value. You can't. Now, did Mary love the Lord Jesus to get her sins forgiven? Or did she love Him because her sins were already forgiven?
Amen.
Well, I think the answer is that she loved the Lord because He forgave her.
Amen.
It wasn't something she did to get Him to do something. Because in as far as the atonement is concerned, Christ would die for her. That would be finished. And so the result, the blessed result of that is for whom He died, He saves. He brings to Himself. And she had heard Jesus, I believe, before speak of the Father who receives sons, prodigal sons and daughters. And I think she came to the conclusion that this Jesus of Nazareth was the one and only true Messiah. He's the one and only true Savior. And I think she believed on Him.
Amen.
I believe she really believed on Him. And I believe that the work of the Holy Spirit was done in her. And what you're seeing and her coming in there to the Lord loving Him is the blessed fruits of regeneration.
Amen.
The blessed fruits. Her repentance is expressed there. Something had already taken place in her heart to that. Well, there's another principle of 747 love, and we think about the principle of that unbounding compassion that the Lord had on her. But there's another principle of the 747 love. It is the principle of inhibited compulsion. Now, Jesus was approached by so many people, most of whom wanted something from Him. They wanted something from Him. It might have been bread and fish, miracles, healings. What are you going to do for me today? And that's the way a lot of church folks are. Just here in the last few months, I've had two families leave the church. Young families that really disappointed me. And the one couple left because they wanted me to discipline a woman who had her husband had left her, abandoned her, and took up with another woman. Well, she met this guy and wanted to marry him. And so they said, you've got to exclude her because she can never get married again. Oh, my. I told him, I said, look, I don't have power myself to exclude anybody.
Right.
She's a member of the church. And so what I'd recommend you do if you're offended at her, you need to go to her.
Yeah. Right.
But no. They wanted Pastor Sled to do the dirty work. You go straighten it out. Get her all straightened out. I never was good at meddling in people's love lives. I got to tell you. So I couldn't straighten it out. So they left. Then I had a couple here about 3 weeks ago. They quit coming to church. And found out they left because they have an Awana program for their little kids at this other church. We had a good children's ministry at our church. My wife worked with those kids. And the little girls that they had loved our program. They loved our children's ministry, but it wasn't good enough for them. They wanted Awana. I don't know much about Awana. But we live in this pragmatic generation of church folks that say, what are you going to do for me? Maybe that's the wrong question.
Right.
What kind of box are you going to break over Jesus' feet?
Yes,
what kind of love are you going to give to Him? You know? I mean, yeah, the woman abandoned by her deadbeat husband that goes out, shacks up with another woman. Hey, did you ever think about going over there trying to love that girl? And help her? And minister to her? No. You see the difference here? Jesus was approached by so many people. They wanted something from Him. But this woman comes to do something for the Lord. And she is compelled by love. She's coming to dedicate her whole life to Him. Repentance has taken place. She's left that life. She's believed on the Lord. She's going to follow the Lord now. Again, I quote Jonathan Edwards, who said that Christ is chosen and followed because He is loved. And religion because it is loved. And the soul rejoices in it and finds its duties and highest happiness and delight in these things. The love of Christ compels us, yea, even constrains us. Does not the Scripture say, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, we're all dead?
Amen.
And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again.
Amen.
The love of Christ constrains and compels me to die to myself and live unto Him. You see, I'm not looking for human approval and praise. But I sure would like to hear my Lord say, well done.
Amen.
Thou good and faithful servant. Hope for that. I hope for that. And she longed for an opportunity to do a kind thing in order to confess Jesus before men. You know, I quote from the parallel account of Mark's Gospel. And here's what Mark recorded about this instance. Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me.
Amen.
For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will may do them good, but you, me you have not always. She hath done what she could. I like that. She did what she could.
Amen.
There's a message there. All you can do is what you can do. But do it because you love Him.
Amen.
She did what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for the burying. And verily I say unto you that whosoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of a memorial of her. It'll always be remembered. We're preaching about it tonight. That's the fulfillment of Scripture. Listen, this woman did something for Jesus that she would never be able to do again. And friends, you only pass this way once. If we can do a good thing for Christ, we ought to do it now while we can.
Amen.
Don't wait. Do it now while you can. Mary wept tears of repentance. But I think those tears turned into tears of joy, because she realized in that moment how wonderful and precious Jesus really is.
Amen.
And she was glad to waste everything she had on Him. She found joy in doing that, Yes, she did. And they said here in Luke 7:49, they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, well, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Did we hear right? He said he forgave her sins. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee, go in peace. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. Now watch this. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. It was the love of Christ that drove out every devil out of her life.
Amen.
And caused her to follow and minister unto him. And that's what it's going to take to drive the devils out of people. The blessed love of Christ.
Amen.
That can so change and revolutionize a person's life. It did mine so many years ago. If you don't love Jesus like you ought to love him, all this is just going to be your routine. The religious roundup. The religious routine that will land you in a rut. Hard to get out of that rut. We got a lot of church folks in ruts. Maybe you're in one. You've been in it for years. Going through the routine. Sunday morning. Sunday night. Wednesday night. Yeah, that's good. You should do that, right? Come to church.
Amen.
But what do you really get out of it? Love makes a difference. You know, imagine if you could come to this church and love Jesus. I mean, imagine if Jesus stood down here and you could do something for him in here. What would you do? Mary washed his feet. What would you do? Isn't that what we should do? When we come to church, it's not just a rut. It's not just a routine. Hey, you know what? We're giving our lives for him.
Amen.
We're ministering our substance to him. We're loving him. And if you get a hold of this, it'll revolutionize your life and it'll revive your church.
Amen.
I guarantee it. I know this is true. Have you forgotten your first love to the Lord Jesus? Oh, friends, your love for Christ will lift you out of that rut. I believe what we need to do is go back and remember what He did for us.
Amen.
You remember when you were saved? Oh, you remember the peace you had? You remember the joy you had? My goodness, when I was saved, I went absolutely crazy. I was crazy for Jesus.
Amen, brother.
I mean, man, church, you know, I was the first one there. I was there before they unlocked the door. I'm banging on that door. I was the last one to leave. The janitor, are you ready to go yet? I couldn't get enough of it.
Amen.
But all the years go by. You know how it is. And you lose that first love, don't you? You kind of lose that desire. Oh, that could be rekindled tonight in our hearts. This will lift you above the complaints about the difficulties and sacrifices you have to make for the Lord. I mean, if Christ gave His blood for you, if He secured your eternal salvation, guaranteed you eternity in heaven, as Brother Carter so well put it tonight, I mean, what else is there? I mean, what better thing can we do than to love the Lord and live for Him?
Amen.
And serve Him? I'll tell you, it will keep you going when no one tells you how great you are. It will encourage you when you don't see the results you expect. But the final, I'll just close here, the final principle of 747 love, it is the principle of unashamed confession of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
While Simon and his guests were embarrassed by all this, and oh, they were probably turning red. They were probably mad, you know, oh, this sinner in my home. They were embarrassed, but I'll tell you, Mary wasn't ashamed. She wasn't embarrassed. She wasn't ashamed of her love and sacrifice for her Lord. Her eyes were upon Jesus Christ, and her heart desired Him and desired to please Him.
Amen.
And the scorn she felt and heard from that house was real, but I tell you, it's worth it to her. Now let me ask you today, how does your Lord and Savior know that you love Him? How does He know? Well, He knows everything. That's right. He does. You might be like Peter, you know, and Peter, do you love me? Well, I've got I like you a lot, Lord. Peter, is that all? Do you love me? Really? And finally, Peter just had to say, Lord, You know all things.
Amen.
You know I love You. But, hey, have you ever told Him? When's the last time you just lifted up your hands and eyes to Christ and said, Lord Jesus, I love You?
Amen.
Might try that. Are you loyal to Him? Love makes us loyal. Will you speak up for Him? If you love Him, will you speak for Him? Will you obey Him today? And maybe you have come to believe on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you are a believer in Christ, I rejoice with you. I'm glad. Let me ask you something. Have you ever publicly confessed Christ before men? Don't be afraid to do that.
Amen.
I know in our church, you know, we sing I don't know how you guys do it here, but we give an invitation hymn, you know, and I usually just do one verse. I don't beg and plead. I don't get people to bow their head and raise your hand, shake a foot and do all that. I just don't do that. That God's not in that.
Amen.
That's just devices of men to get someone to make a decision and makes them more confused than they were before. But what I do tell people is this. If you've come to Christ, if you've believed on Him as your Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and say before the church, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm not ashamed of Him. And I love Him because He first loved me. So maybe that's what you need to do. Have you ever followed the Lord in scriptural baptism? You may be a Christian. You may be a believer, but you've never followed the Lord in the waters of baptism. You know, that's a public profession of your faith.
Amen.
Baptism doesn't save you. There's nothing in the water that can wash away sin. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ.
Amen.
But oh, how important it is to identify yourself with Him in His death and burial and resurrection. And you know, you might be here and you're a believer, but you need to follow the Lord in baptism, become part of this church. Would you make that commitment? You're saved, but maybe you've never let that be known. I urge you to do that. And I tell you this, you'll never regret it.
Amen.
Never will
Amen.
Regret that. To say, to stand and say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I love Him. He loves me. I'm not ashamed of Him.
Amen.
May God give us grace to do that. Brother Tiger.